Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q1 FY23 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Executive Director, Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Purvesh Parekh, Head Investor Relations, and Mr. Ravi, Corporate and Financial Advisor. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We now request Mr. Vishal Mehta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rajat. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking time to attend our earnings call today. I hope you would have seen our presentation, which has been uploaded on the exchanges as well as the company's website. To start with, we had a great start and a strong performance in the first quarter of FY23 across all of our parameters that we monitor. Our confidence and strength and scalability of our business model and our strategy to focus on merchants and banks for digital payments and providing them with differentiated business offering has been very rewarding. Over the years, we have always innovated well ahead of the curve and introduced products which have been pioneers in the fintech space. Our most recent launch, which is called Tap on Pay, CCAvenue Tap Pay, which was launched just last month, is a revolutionary product, and it will be a game changer in the payment space. I will request Vishwas Patel to talk about it in detail. I will briefly discuss the performance for the quarter. We delivered strong performance in the standalone basis, which is the core India payment business and the platform business. All of our financial parameters, revenue, EBITDA, and PAT were at a record high. On a year-over-year basis, gross revenue has been up 95%, EBITDA was up 51%, and PAT is up 137%. The performance has been driven by higher transaction processing volumes, which we call TPV, and increase in take rates in payments business. EBITDA as a percentage of net revenue has risen to 64% from 60% year-over-year, which we had guided in FY21. The total transaction processing volume, which comprises of digital payments transaction processing as well as what we process on government e-marketplace, has record high at 87,218 crores for the quarter. I would like to inform you that the TPV number that we report excludes the UPI payments, which contributes to single-digit percentage to the payments transaction processing volume. Another interesting point to note is that this is the fifth consecutive quarter of growth in gross and net take rates in India payments business just through payment processing alone. We have not yet undertaken any major monetization efforts. Gross take rates in India payments business were 78 basis points, and net take rate came in at 6.9 basis points, which has been steadily improving since the second quarter of 2022, when it was 4.8 basis points. Both the payment and industry mix contributed to this increase in take rate. We have in the last quarter of Q4 FY22 disclosed that the share of credit options, which has increased to 45%, and that continues. We continue to maintain zero MDR payment options in single-digit percentage of the overall transaction processing volume, while other options constitute the rest, which includes net banking, debit cards, prepaid instruments, NEFT, RTGS. As far as government e-marketplace is concerned. GeM has already crossed 50,000 crores on the 1st of August, double the speed rate compared to last year, FY22. As far as the industry is concerned, I'd like to highlight that the outlook is quite positive. We believe payments transaction processing volume will continue to grow as there is a significant headroom and large untapped merchant and customer base. There are some legacy systems with banks and efforts by the government and the regulators to build on this sector in India to create financial inclusion. RBI, through its most recent published Payment Vision 2025 report, is aiming to triple the digital payments in India. Digital payments comprising of cards and prepaid instruments grew 35% to 20 trillion rupees. And including UPI P2M, it grew to 36 trillion rupees, up 70% year over year. Given the first quarter statistics by RBI and extrapolating it for the full year, it is expected to cross 50 trillion rupees in FY23. Point of sale and e-commerce are expected to be equal contributors. Credit card trends are particularly encouraging. Credit cards have increased to 7.9 crores in June of 2022 from 5.8 crores in March of 2020, which is the pre-COVID level. Credit card value itself has shown a very strong averaging over 1 trillion rupees in each of the months in first quarter. It averaged around 60,000 crores monthly in FY20, the pre-COVID period, a growth of 67% in 2 years. We have been pioneers in our product offerings for online merchants over the last 2 decades and doing many of the industry firsts in the fintech space. We want to offer differentiated product offering in our other segments also. We want to grow our market share in payments by targeting offline merchants and generating higher cash flows and returns for our shareholders. Vishwas Patel will throw a few pointers and provide some insights on this. We are focused on building a frictionless financial technology company in the digital payment space, which should provide a seamless and holistic digital payment solutions to merchants, along with access to capital at a click of a button. Through our comprehensive offerings comprising of software platforms, payments, and finance, we want to make the merchants digital, credible, and hence bankable, and offer them financial services in the form of lending based on in-depth data analytics that we generate based on millions of merchants and their transactions. I will now hand over the call to Vishwas for his comments. Vishwas, over to you.
Thank you, Vishal. Good morning, everybody. So I will start with a new launch, the CC Avenue mobile app, which is the world's most advanced omni-channel payments platform with TapPay, which is India's first pin-on-glass solution. TapPay. For those who could not attend the event, we have put a video on YouTube of our entire event of the launch, including our corporate AV. CC Avenue TapPay is a breakthrough payment technology with pin-on-glass technology that will allow consumers to do transaction with an OTP, even on amounts which are in excess of rupees 5,000 limit set by RBI, not just on the merchant's phone, but on their own phone as well. To this, we are also introducing soon TapPay, CC Avenue TapPay, as a payment option inside some of India's major merchants' checkout page app. Consumers can select it as a payment option and tap their card on the phone for an instant checkout without having to enter the card details or remembering CVV. Payment instruments in our country is sorted, but RBI's payment vision can be achieved only by improving payment acceptance infrastructure and providing holistic solutions to merchants. And what we are aiming to do is just that. We are building a frictionless fintech company, a comprehensive payment technology that will offer not only payment acquiring, but payment issuance and all the related infrastructure. This will make us a core part of the entire payment ecosystem, allowing us to build a long-term sustainable profitable business and create for value for all in the system. We are going to build this infrastructure in a twofold manner. One, we have and are continuously engaging with the top banks to build top-notch infrastructure for them that is not only scalable and robust, and two, by offering CC Avenue mobile app with TapPay feature for merchants as an app for free to proliferate payments to deep across the India. Despite tremendous success of UPI, NPCI has mentioned that its reach is about 250 million customers. The target is fourfold. It's to reach around 1 billion people in India. And they say acceptance and infrastructure has to be improved for deeper reach. This is where the CC Avenue Omnichannel app aims to address the challenge of inadequate payment acceptance of infrastructure and eliminate barriers to seamless digital adoption. For small businesses or large, to the ease of its deployment and its probability to make it the best choice for many use cases, apart from it being zero and low cost, the future of digital payment is growth-oriented and a massive unbanked, underbanked population waiting to be covered. The value of digital payments is expected to reach threefold from $3 trillion today to US $10 trillion by 2026. There is a huge opportunity for us to scale and capture that opportunity. There is also a huge opportunity for credit as a country's credit staff, with household debt at only 11% of the GDP when you compare with a mature market at USA, which is at 84%. 40% of the MSME credit in our country is still via informal channels. And that is where our lending platform Trust Avenue comes in, which will allow the banks to lend and our merchants to get the loans through our next generation merchant data analytics. Today, cash still accounts for 72% of the total consumer spending. There is more than 29 lakh crores of cash in the market. Our aim is to make our country a less cash society. BCG analysts and expects 2 out of every 3 payment transactions would be digitized by 2026, and the digital payment markets for person to merchant payments would be 2.5 trillion from the 0.4 trillion in 2021, and B2B would become 2 trillion in 2026 from the 1 trillion in 2021. This all is very encouraging, and we will strive and continue to grow as fast and as will next-gen technology to capture this. Vishal, with this, would you like to add anything before we open up for Q&A?
We've been growing at about 8,000 merchants per day, and with our rich blend of offerings, which will allow us to boost our earnings across millions of merchants, all our fintech solutions are also fueling our expansion to our goal of achieving a transaction processing value run rate of 7.5 lakh crore by end of FY24. We are on the trajectory and confident of delivering this kind of performance going forward. Thank you. Moderator, we can now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anuj Narula from JMFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first question is...
Sorry to interrupt. Anuj, we are not able to hear you.
Am I audible now?
So you're sounding very soft.
Huh?
Yeah, this is Hello. Better. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, in terms of the recent expansion to Australia, how much would be the investments and what are our growth aspects here? And what sort of competition do we face in other international markets of UAE? Shall I ask the second question now?
Sure.
Yeah. So my second question is with respect to TapPay and like how much market share do we expect to capture with the launch of TapPay as we plan to eliminate the POS machines, and how much CapEx would it incur? Any update on the e-commerce tie-ups would also be helpful on this. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Anuj. So I will take the first question and also give you some background of the second one as well. As far as Australia is concerned, as you're right, we have just announced an opening of our offices and a fully owned subsidiary in Australia. We think it's a very large market. As far as the investment amounts are concerned, historically, we've been forward investing in these international markets, and we see the ROI coming up in less than 1 or 2 years. Fortunately, we have got payment solutions which are globally scalable. You see, in payments, all the card networks as well as all the technology infrastructure that we've built out, they've all been built out on a global scale. We currently operate anyways in UAE. We are number two players in UAE, and we've also opened up Saudi Arabia and US. So we believe that since technology is scalable globally, we have built out a model which is called Country in a Box. And that model allows us to create a team who can actually work on a country to be able to build out volumes and generate traction there. The thing that we are very excited about as far as Australia is concerned is that it's a very digital-savvy society. And with our new solution, which is the point that you brought out in your second question, which is TapPay, these applications can be provided to even small merchants as well as larger merchants in that region. So as far as the investments are concerned, we believe that it will be sub $1 million in the first year dollars. It will be about 7 to 8 crores of investments that we will make in that geography this year. And we expect that we should be able to launch and generate good amount of traction, given that a lot of technology that we've been built out is built out for global scale and not just for India alone. As far as, I hope that answers the first question that you have.
Yes.
As far as the second question around what is the opportunity for TapPay in India, see, TapPay is for the first time, and across India, this is the only application which has got PIN and glass certification. So what that means is that any transaction which is even above 5,000 rupees can be transacted using TapPay, which is the only application which has this kind of approval across all the card networks. So we expect that we will be approaching, it's already live across many of the implementations. A few thousand implementations have gone live already, and we expect that a large number of channels, OEM brands in the mobile phone space, we believe banks as well as other financial institutions who want to cater to small merchants, we will be working very closely with these channels to be able to create a digital footprint for them. Because for all these merchants, if they are digital, then they become credible, and hence they can get loans for their growth. They can give them wings to fly. And we believe that just because merchant cannot afford a 10 to 15,000 rupee point of sale machine does not mean that we steal away the credibility from them. And so acceptance, like Vishwas mentioned in his speech, acceptance is a very large problem in India. If you allow any merchant to accept any kind of payments, and that too without a piece of hardware, every merchant has a mobile phone or a smartphone, but every merchant may not have a point of sale machine. And if we are able to create that kind of an opportunity for merchants, we believe that it fulfills a large part of our mission that we built out this company for. So, as far as the opportunity is concerned, we expect that we will be able to, today, 99% of all transactions that we process are online transaction only. But in the coming 2 to 3 years, we expect that at least 25 to 30% of the transactions that we process will also include offline, which is through CC Avenue TapPay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a decent number. I just want to understand a couple of things. Firstly, on this net take rate that we have got in this quarter, it's slightly up now. Is it? So I just wanted to understand two reasons behind it. One, from a competitive landscape perspective, that how this is going on a directional path and how much of this is coming from the mix change advantage that we may have in some of the business.
Sure. So now the take rates have improved. If you recollect in our prior calls, we had mentioned that as the industry mix changes, you know, a lot of, if you look at last year and since Q2 of FY22, you will see the take rates improve quite a bit. So since it was, you know, if you look at pre-COVID versus now, most of the industries, including travel, entertainment, everyone else, they have started, you know, coming up to speed. And if you recollect, I just mentioned in the prior question that all our transactions, 99% of our transactions processed are online. So as offline picked up, online also picked up. And since industry mix changes, that we've seen a much better take rate, you know, than what we had a year ago. We'd also forward communicated that, saying that we expect the take rates to improve quarter over quarter as we go forward. The competitiveness in the industry is definitely there. I also mentioned that in our TPV, the transaction processing volume, we don't include the UPI-based payments, which is actually single-digit percentage of the overall payments, because that is not where we, you know, get our commissions. So if you look at the overall perspective, we expect that the take rates will keep on getting better, you know, as we go through and build up. The competitive intensity in the industry is definitely there. It's more so in the UPI part of the ecosystem. You know, we expect that as we build out more and more feature sets, ones that allow the merchants to improve their own sales and other opportunities and make it part of our offering to merchants, it creates more stickiness, it creates better analytics, and it also allows merchants to become more successful. And we believe that as we keep on building that up, it makes it more and more tenable. See, we've also built out for the first time an omni-channel solution, one that offers online and offline both. And for the entire 5 million large merchant base that we have, we would be wanting to offer this kind of an experience with a single console at the back end. This is the only omni-channel solution across the country where you can process your online transactions, offline transactions, and get reported into a single dashboard at the back end. So large chains, large institutions, large OEMs, we would want to tap into them. And given this kind of a solutioning, it makes it very easy for anyone to even buy online, return offline, and do whatever they want to be able to achieve a better experience. So we believe that in the next few quarters, we should see the take rates getting better in spite of competitive intensity.
So, just a small follow-up on the same. So also, if you could share some thought in terms of volume-led, your ability to, you know, pull a better bip for you, is that happening and in what kind of, you know, peers, not peers, but partners where you are able to see larger quantum-led ability to push for better pricing?
See, if you look at the competitive intensity, it is significant in this country. So in other words, you have a lot of companies offering similar, you know, competitive rates. I think what we want to do is really go after the feature sets and the stickiness that we would want to create with our merchant base. In terms of volume, which is impacting pricing, what we realize is that we would want to pass the savings to our customers and our merchants to become more competitive in the industry. So volume does give us some edge. I think, you know, we've already got significant amount of volumes passing through us. You know, if you look at, you know, our projection by FY24, we expected to do a transaction processing volume of $100 billion. So I think that as far as the volumes are concerned, definitely we are there. And any volume related savings that we expect to achieve, we will pass on to the merchants.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from our side.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sharma from HSBC Securities and Capital Markets India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for providing the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my end. Since we will be entering into the working capital and discounting business also, so just wanted to know the timeline when we will be initiating the same and what will be the average ticket size on the same. And second is, like since some of the players, I hope that you will be entering, you will be providing the capital as well as the platform for these services. But on the other side, some platform-based competitors, which are leveraging on the large bank customer database. They are tying up with the banks and providing the, they are getting the benefit of huge customer base. So how do you see that challenge of competition from them?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? You were slightly not audible. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So my first question was like, since you will be entering into working capital and inverse discounting, so just know that, wanted to know the timeline for the same, that when you will be initiating the same and what will be the average ticket price we will focus. That was fun. And second is that since some of the players which are just providing the platform in master finance, they are leveraging on the customer database of large banks, they are having some tie-ups and they are providing the loan. So how you see the competition from them, since you will be using your own finance to provide the funds?
This is the answer. I'll tell you that we don't expect to put our own finance to and our own balance sheet, you know, to be able to fund, you know, any, whether it is invoice discounting, bill discounting, or any loans. What we will do is we will act as a platform in every case where we would be able to connect the merchant with the necessary financial institution, whether it's a bank or an NBFC, and we will be able to earn, you know, a small piece of that transaction. A classic example is what you would see as a DSA, where you would earn a small fraction on every transaction is what we would want to, you know, cater to. So as far as the strategy for us is concerned, our strategy is that we will work with very large platform implementations to be able to, you know, give that kind of an opportunity where merchants can avail loans from financial institutions. You know, the two largest frameworks that we are essentially catering to in India, one of them, of course, being government e-marketplace. We also have more than, you know, a few million merchants of our own that can potentially leverage the opportunity to get, you know, attractive loans and offerings. So, you know, we are going to continue building up that portfolio. As you can tell, we already have crossed more than $500 million in terms of our settlement loans that we give to our merchants. That's one more, you know, part of financing that we offer, which has already been very successful, and we have zero NPAs so far in that, literally. So I think that we have a scientific approach to approaching this. You know, we expect that, you know, for all the settlements that we do, we expect that maybe we will be able to cross more than $1 billion of financing there. And then we will work with, you know, that some of the implementations that we have, they already, in terms of platform implementations, they already have a few $1 billion of GMV or TPV that they process. So to your second point, which is, you know, some frameworks can leverage our setups to be able to do this, that is anyways work in progress through our Trust Avenue framework. And we expect that in any of these implementations, we will be able to help them process more than $1 billion of loans in this coming year.
Thank you so much, sir. That was my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Amrish Kumar from Geosphere Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, just one question from my side. You said that you will be not using your own capital to build this lending business. So can I assume that you are not going for any kind of NBFC license in the future?
It's reasonable to assume that in the near future, we would not be going for such licenses.
Okay. And sir, second question is this on-tap technology. So just trying to understand what is the pain point that you are trying to solve here for your customers? Are you trying to, take away, do you think that it is the cost of the POS machines for your merchants, which is the big problem for them, or something else?
So I'll tell you, which basically the objective is that merchants, they have sales both in the online world as well as in the offline channel of their own. And the one pain point that merchants face is that not all merchants have access to a point of sale machine, because you see, QR code based payments are different than card based payments. And while some merchants may have QR codes, but not everyone has a POS reader. There are more than 700 million RuPay cards which are out there. And if you look at the number of consumers in the UPI framework, there may be 150, 200 million. So I think that there is an opportunity for merchants to be able to accept payments in any shape and form. And if you are able to create an opportunity for merchants to accept payments across any channel, whether it is QR code based, link based, whether it means card based, credit card, net banking, whatever you talk about, then it allows them to be able to cater to more consumers. Now, what we are trying to solve is acceptance for the merchant, which is merchants can and consumers can be issued a card. Issuance is not as much of a problem. If there are 700 million rupee cards, there may be more than a billion more cards. So I don't think that issuance is as much of an issue. We expect that acceptance is going to be a bigger issue in India, which is what we are catering to and which we would like to solve. Now, the second part in this is that if you are able to digitize most of the transactions for the merchants and you provide an interface for them to be able to conduct their business online as well as offline, because right now there is no omni-channel solution. This is the second problem that we want to solve, which is that a merchant will have a different provider for online and a different provider for offline point of sale machine. And for a point of sale machine, they will of course have a cost of point of sale, then they would want to go and make sure that there is paper roll, there is maintenance, there is internet connectivity for the POS machines. There are so many other issues that continue plaguing this industry. And what we would like to do is to be able to offer an opportunity whereby whether it is pre-bundled onto their phone or it comes across as an application that can potentially just get downloaded and be able to use it, you can imagine that there will be millions of kiranas that can potentially benefit out of such an implementation. Even a QR code can be accepted onto the app. And it is their own. They don't have to be limited by one POS machine. There is no queuing. So we expect that there will be many, many more opportunities that potentially and use cases that can be solved using this. But from a macro level, what we would like to solve is two things. Acceptance on a very, very large merchant base that don't have access to point of sale machines. Acceptance for all the merchants who have a point of sale machine but don't want to go through the maintenance and the hassles of being able to conduct their business. And an omni-channel solution whereby there is better credit rating for the merchant that can potentially be offered a much larger opportunity to be able to take loans to grow their business. Because once you have both the online as well as the offline digital payment solutioning for merchants, it gives you a much better analytical position to be able to offer larger opportunities and loans to such merchants, which is what we'd like to solve.
Very helpful here, this explanation. So do we have a tie-up with a bank at the back end for rolling out this world's best, as you said, the payment mechanism? Or what are we trying to do here?
Vishwas, you want to take this?
Yes, yes. We do have. Every acquiring piece needs a bank who has the tie-up with the network. This we have launched in partnership with RBL Bank. We have our own acquiring bin through which the bank has sponsored it with the card networks. So we have launched it with RBL Bank. The whole idea here is that, look, today the point of sale terminals, less than 5.7 million terminals for around 150 million SMEs in our country, right? So point of sale terminals is not, is very expensive, 10 to 12,000 rupees battery, as Vishal pointed out, giving them paper slips, training the merchants, and imagine in a tier 4 city or a town in Arunachal Pradesh or Assam or Tamil Nadu or Odisha. So it's very difficult to service, very difficult to hear. Here what we are given a solution is that merchants, most of the kiranas have a phone. We are turning that phone into a POS terminal, right? And it's very simple. And if you're giving them an all-encompassing 200 plus payment options. So it's not just the tapping a credit card or debit card, but it has also a static QR code, just like what you see printed on a kirana today, where any potential customer can just scan that QR and do the transaction. As well as, you know, it has an inbuilt sound box also. So after the transaction, a kirana can hear that a transaction is successful in multiple languages, which is compatible with whichever local. So what we are trying to solve here is that not only grow the acceptance base from the current 5.4 million POS terminal to this 150, which is a huge opportunity. We want every street cart vendor, we want every, the use cases are enormous because it has a user management. So if a restaurant has around 10 or 12 delivery boys, all the 10 or 12 delivery boys on their phone can download the app, and it is multiple users, and the parent app can show all the transactions where the money is collected and notifications appropriately. So use cases are huge. If you see acceptance today, there are like, I was sitting with a team, there are more than a million schools in 4 states only which are not accepting fees online. So payment acceptance is such, you know, like what is commerce? Any product, services sold and payment made. So this kind of an app can help that enablement. A student paying to his tuition teacher, right, that has to digitize. The tuition teacher paying to a kirana store for buying his biscuits or whatever, that has to be digital, not go to an ATM, withdraw cash and then pay the money through this thing to the kirana. Kirana paying to his distributor has to be done. Distributor paying through the manufacturer has to be digital. Manufacturer paying his taxes to the government should be digital. So all those, every leg of a commerce cycle is there. And if you make such an easy acceptance where your own mobile phone becomes a point of sale acceptance terminal, that is a breakthrough transformative technology, right? It is much cheaper and better and more options than a physical POS, and it's more and more advanced than a simple QR code pasted on a kirana. So it's a very transformative technology, and I think we are quite gung-ho. We are India's first certified with pin on glass on this thing, and you will see in the coming quarters the take rate and other things, the acceptance of this solution.
So my last follow-up on this is very interesting, this app is. But one of the large competitors who has spent so much money in rolling out so many physical POS all across India, he would also be looking very closely at your application. And do you think that, you know, how much time it will take for them to copy this innovation?
So sure thing, yes, anything we build a couple of months down the line, they will also follow, copy and shoot. That's the case what we have always been leading for the last 20, 22 years. Like we invoiced that SMS invoice link 20 years back, right? But till then, you also have to understand that we have the whole ecosystem ready. We have like 6.4 million merchants where we'll be rolling it out. Like if you say in hospitality, we have Taj, Oberoi, ITC, Lemon Tree, all those, and another 2,000 hotels. So these hotels where these merchants are already onboarded onto us, KYC done, these are the first low-hanging fruits that whom we'll be going and offering, where we are offering all our solutions now.
and doing deep integrations with their existing systems, since we know these merchants and their track record of us. So having an ecosystem, similarly, yes, when they come, they might go to their merchants, but we, since we are first, there is a first mover advantage, right? And there is this thing. So let's see how it pans out.
But I will also add to that, that we are somewhat built as a payment infrastructure company, not a payment provider alone. So what we do as a payment infrastructure company is give it to merchants that we have, and we also give the framework to banks. You know that some of the banks, including Kotak Bank, Allpay, as well as HDFC Solutioning, comes through us. So as we have built out more as in US, there is a company called Stripe, which is more of a payment infrastructure, not just a payment solution provider. So we are really going to give our offering and our framework to many of these merchants that are already on our platform, the millions of merchants that Vishwas talked about, but also to the ecosystem that we cater to.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for this elaborate explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Unnati Bhavikar from KR Choksi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. When the TRs is what I'm going to start and later on I have...
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Your voice is breaking up.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions on the financial side and then also want to get some understanding around what is the share of all these new businesses to the total revenue. So we've been talking about the TPVs going very strong and they have been very strong, approximately 100% kind of year-on-year growth is visible in the last 4 quarters. But then do you believe that in the first quarter of 23, this last quarter, the quarter-on-quarter growth has kind of slowed down? And what could be the reason for it? And secondly, on the NTR side, the NTRs have been moving up for the past 3-4 quarters, and that's really great. But why is it not resonating in the gross margins? Because gross margins are still volatile. They are not in line with the NTRs improving. So that is the second question. And third is the express settlement that you've been talking about that is really doubling up, tripling up. Wherein you don't have any kind of credit risk. So what kind of margins do you make on it? And what kind of a share do you have of it in the total revenue as of now? If it is a sizable revenue as of now, you can share it. And secondly, also, what is the share of the overseas revenues overall to the total revenue? And do you make better margins over there compared to the domestic revenue?
Sure. So, Nithi, I will take a few questions and then Vishwas can add in. See, as far as the overall quarter-over-quarter growth is concerned, you see, we have been somewhat slightly marginally better in terms of the digital payments space. And as far as you know that government e-marketplace is also something that we cater to. So GeM had, and that should also answer some of the margin question as well that you have as much. So usually Q4 is a very large quarter for, GeM and others. And you will see that, Q1 also there is significant traction, but not as much as Q4. Q4 may, there's usually a 40-50% increase over the other quarters. But this time around, it continued on in the first quarter as well. And as a result, you will see that there is a marginal, improvement, both in terms of, overall, Q1 last year versus Q1 this year, because in the first quarter alone, GeM was able to perform 50,000 crores worth of, by August, they did 50,000, but Q1 was also very strong. So we expect that the strength will continue on in the subsequent quarters as well, both in digital payments as well as, the infrastructure that we provide from the platform perspective. So that is one reason why you would see that quarter on quarter, you would see a little bit of, growth and some dip in certain parameters. But I think, it's been very strong compared to the first quarter of last year. Normally, if you look at it, Q3 is the strongest quarter for digital payments because of the holiday season. Q1 and Q2, you will see growth. In Q3, there's a phenomenal growth. Q4, we have some amount of seasonality, but it's somewhat because of the underlying growth in both the platforms and the payments business that you don't see the impact this year. We expect that it'll continue on for the remainder of the year. Again, it's reasonable to expect that Q3 will see a significant improvement as well in the digital payments business compared to the first two quarters of 2023. As far as the take rate is concerned, I'd explained in the earlier question as well. We think the take rate is actually going to keep on seeing improvement in the digital payments business because of the fact that the mix has changed. Pandemic is behind us. Short of any uncertain event that happens around pandemic, we expect that we should continue on building up for the remainder quarters this year. International, as a part of our business, is less than 10% of our overall revenues. But international is significantly growing. The take rates in international definitely are better compared to the take rates in India. Many a times in the international geographies, we record only the net take rates and not the gross take rates because of certain specific rules that apply to specific countries whereby we are able to position it as a net take rate and not gross. But we expect that international in the next two to three years should be at least 30% of our overall business. So as we increase our GMV, it's reasonable to assume that international will be at least 30% of the overall business that we cater to with take rates as well as opportunity because the vision that we have for digital payments is contactless and borderless. And if we take that vision and we work towards achieving that vision of ours, then we would want to make sure that anyone who is in any country with the regulatory approvals as well as all the compliances should be able to transact through the banking channels without actually any friction. So yeah, international is a significant opportunity for us. Fortunately, our entire payment infrastructure framework is built out in such a way that it is globalized. We don't have to build out for the region. Everything is horizontally scalable as well as globalized. And all of our relationships with card networks and everything else are also global in nature. So we think that with this kind of a vision of borderless and contactless, we should continue building up. So hopefully that answers the question that you have. If I've missed something, you can let me know.
Yeah, about the express settlement, as in where it has reached in terms of its contribution to the overall revenue, and also what kind of gross margins do you make on express settlement?
I will tell you, we don't segment gross settlement out, the express settlement, sorry, as a separate line item. We have opened it up to a select set of merchants. Actually, to be very precise, it is less than 5% of our merchant base that we've opened the express settlement to. And in the last several quarters, we wanted to track and trace it, and we're happy to let you know that we have got zero NPA so far in terms of express settlements while we have processed a few hundred million dollars of settlement now in terms of express settlement. So the opportunity to expand it is significant because 95% of our merchant base can still be provided with this kind of an opportunity. In terms of contribution, I can tell you, while I don't have segmental for you, but what I can tell you is that it's reasonable to assume that we make about anywhere from 1 basis point to 3 basis points a day.
And as I spoke about the LDRs improving and so on, when do we think it?
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. You're sounding very far away from the mic.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what I meant to ask again is that while the LDRs are improving, when do we see the impact of it kind of reflecting in the GPMs on a regular basis or on a consistent basis? Because right now, although the LDR has improved to 6.9 basis points, GPM has kind of, you know, come down to 17.6% kind of level from 20.6% in Q4. So can you just give us an understanding around how do you see this trajectory of GPM will be like going forward?
So in terms of, if I repeat your question, in terms of gross margins, is that your question?
Yes.
When do you see the gross margins? See, we've been, one is reasonable to expect that we will continue to invest in places, you know, which have a potential for us. We are optimizing for the long term. And you'll appreciate we don't optimize for a quarter, but we expect that, you know, about 4 or 5 quarters ago, we had mentioned that, yeah, we should see an improvement in take rate. You know, we have a strong assumption and we validate our assumptions, and we want to make sure that we can continue delivering on that with the line of sight. So, you know, in terms of stabilization and improvement, it's reasonable to expect that we will invest in certain areas, which includes the CC Avenue TapPay and others, which have a huge potential for us to be able to offer a very differentiated positioning. You know, the gross margins will be similar or slightly higher going forward. So we think it's stabilized short of an uncertain event like a pandemic.
Okay. Thank you.
Sumati, just one point I'd like to add here, Suresh here. Gross margin for our India payments business has actually improved on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So with the 19% increase that we've seen in the net take rate, the gross margins have also improved in the payments business. And overall, the 90% of our core business, which is our India payments and platforms, which we record in standalone, there also, if you see, the gross margins have improved, plus the EBITDA margin itself has gone up to 64% of our metrics. So there's a significant improvement here with respect to the operating profitability as well, and at the net margin level.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ayushi Shah, an individual analyst. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I have 2 questions, and my first question is regarding the capital raising plans of the company. So my understanding is that we have around 208 crores as cash balance currently, and we incurred around 62 crores of amortization expenses as of March 22, which is actually a non-cash expense. Now, in the press release issued yesterday, it was stated that because Infibeam's major capex cycle is behind them, the company is now focusing on a focused growth strategy for the next 3-5 years. So, sir, I fail to understand why we would need to raise funds at all if we are, in your words, consistently converting EBITDA into free cash and are almost a debt-free company. So if you could throw some light on that.
Sure, Ayushi. So in the past, we have mentioned that, you know, we have a significant opportunity to work on the express settlement piece, which, you know, may require certain amount of working capital. Express settlement is zero NPA. And in that, what we are doing is to be able to offer merchants an opportunity to get their cash faster when they process through us. When we open up the offline space as well as the online space, that becomes one place that we think, you know, could be a potential. Second is that, you know, as far as our platform business, we think startups is a huge opportunity in India. And, you know, selectively we will evaluate making investments in such startups that allow us to strategically, you know, open up and expand our own horizons. There are a lot of things which are slightly experimental in nature, but, you know, what our internal bias, just, you know, so that you know, is always to build and not to buy. But when we find something which is very interesting, which allows us to expand our opportunity, then we will selectively make investments. These are bold, calculated bets, ones that potentially allow us to grow. Historically also, we believe that we have made such, you know, opportunities viable. If you look at Go Payments, which is one of our subsidiaries, if you look at UVIC, which we did last year, which has actually resulted into the CC Avenue TapPay you know, the transaction size was about 75 odd crores, and we were able to offer a very differentiated play. So our perspective is that, yes, we are very happy that we are in this position where we have a business model that generates returns and is profitable. But we also want to make sure that we continuously innovate, and we want to get the right people with the right framework and bent in technology, which can strategically improve the offering that we have, which is the reason why we would evaluate opportunities from time to time.
So just to get some more clarity on that, so basically the capital raising funds will be for hiring new employees as well as for new investment opportunities, right?
Yeah, it's reasonable to assume that. Yeah, so it will be for investments and growth.
All right. Okay, sir. And sir, my second question was that, so being an investor in the company, that I'm highly interested in its growth, and that we are progressing by leaps and bounds in almost every segment we enter, be it gem or payments. But that growth hasn't really reflected in the market cap. Now, the shareholders are therefore not benefiting from the company's advancements. So what is the reason behind this lag in market cap growth? I'm not saying that like the promoters buy shares of the company or anything, but why don't we get any big reputed investors on board? Or is there like a strategy behind keeping the market cap at this level?
So I would let you know that, you know, we, of course, you know, as an investor, we also want that our investors make good returns. And, you know, I'm also an investor in the company. So I think I share the sentiment that, yes, we would want to actually, you know, do much better in terms of the performance. But you see, it's a market, and the markets will, of course, reward based on execution. And so as we continue to execute, our focus has always been to execute. And as you continue to execute, we hope that, you know, the markets will see through it and be able to reward the performance of execution. Historically, we have not been focusing too much on optics, but more on execution. So, but selectively now, we are also looking at trying to talk to people about what we do and not, you know, sell or convince any of the things that we do. But our performance should show up. While there may be latencies both ways in execution and markets, we expect that they should correct itself as we build out going forward. There is no strategy by say. We don't participate at all in these discussions. As far as, you know, the opportunity for the growth as well as opportunity to look at international growth as well, we selectively evaluate opportunities from time to time. And for the right reason, I'm sure that the board will take the right decisions.
So that does make sense. And so you mentioned
Sorry to interrupt. Ms. Shah, may we request that you return to the question queue so the participants waiting.
Sure, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anil Nahata, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Congrats on a very good performance this quarter. Very heartening to see the net take rates improving as well as the growth on the payment side. I have a couple of questions. One is to understand slightly better. If you look at the net take rate and the transaction process volume, at a net revenue level, it reaches to somewhere around 59-60 crores. So there is a delta of 14 crore of net take revenue there. Similarly, it used to be in the earlier quarter slightly higher than this. I just need to understand what is this business, this delta 14 crore of which used to be slightly higher, and where are we heading in margin terms on this business?
We are a payment infrastructure company and not just payment solution provider. So whenever we provide infrastructure to some of the companies and banks and many others, I mentioned that we want to provide opportunities for them so that we can reach out to the larger ecosystem. So there are certain things like, you know, Kotak AllPay that goes through Kotak Bank. Banks cannot offer all different payment options to their users. And so what we do is that we allow them to build up on our solution and provide it to merchants. And, you know, that may be one of the reasons why you would see whatever that small delta is in terms of the processing. You know, volumes. but I can come back to you on exact specifics, you know, once I do the numbers. So that is one reason why you will see, because, as, you know, you can think of us as more of a Stripe. There's a company which is based in the US. They not only provide their own solutioning, but they allow others to build up on top of their own platform frameworks. And as we continue evolving, we want to continue building up in that format, because while channels will compete with each other, we want to be the backbone provider of such channels. And you will expect that that should continue being our focus going forward. We have a lot of APIs that have been opened up, and one can build out innovative solutions on top of our APIs. And, you know, we think that that must be, you know, perhaps what you're referring to. You know, if you have any other questions, I can get the specifics.
Yeah, so maybe I will take it offline with your investor relation team and understand it slightly better. So that is one point. On the second side, I have a couple of questions. I mean, see, you've given a guidance for the revenue, net profit and all. And I believe the way you are setting up, you are going to blow past that revenue targets any which way. One of the questions I have, and that is the most interesting area that you have spoken about in the last two calls, and I also believe it to be same, is this TapPay thing that has been launched now. What kind of internal benchmark, if any, if you can share, are you expecting this business to grow to over the next like 4 quarters? Any kind of a range that we can think of, that this is what is the vision that you are looking at?
Yeah, so TapPay is a solution that we have launched recently. And you know, there are two things that will happen, we believe, in the next few quarters. One is that the number of cards that have been issued, which are going to be NFC-enabled, you know, it should get to maybe 70-80% in the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because historically, cards were not NFC-enabled. Not all cards were NFC-enabled. And we expect that, you know, in our discussions with card networks and card providers, our expectation is that in the next 6 to 12 months, India will be a society where any card which has been issued will be NFC-enabled. So there is going to be a transition even for cards that are non-NFC-enabled to becoming more and more NFC-enabled in India, number one. Number two, that as we build out for merchants, there will be the merchants that don't have point-of-sale machine. Those are they're watermelons on the ground. And we can offer such solutioning to such merchants. And for merchants who are using our platform at the moment, because they are anyways processing to us, those are the ones which are quick wins for us. In terms of the processing volume, like I said, 99% of all volumes in Q1, in fact, 99.5 above, were all, you know, online transactions. You know, offline market is a larger market in many ways compared to what online does today. And while online is increasing at a rate which is much faster, so we expect that there's going to be a crossover. But Vishwas mentioned that 72% of the transactions even today are cash-based. And so if you are able to offer a solutioning which offers all these different elements, I think it makes it very worthwhile. So this year our target is that in a single digit percentage, transactions will be through CC Avenue TapPay. And next year, in the year after, we expect that about 30% of the transactions will be, you know, definitely through the offline channels.
30%?
Yes.
Oh, that's huge.
30% of all the transactions that we process,
mm-hmm,
will be through offline channels, through CCAvenue. Because see, what TapPay does is it somewhat morphs the line between offline and online. Fundamentally, it's a point of sale machine, which is more like, think of it as like a soft point of sale solution, but it's on the phone. With all the security and all the feature sets which have been built out, which is approved by all card networks through authentications and many other means. So, yeah, we expect that. I'm not sure whether you followed, but there's an event which is online. You may want to, perhaps, we'd love to, my investor relations will reach out to you. But that's where we have a unique solution, and it's patent pending. We filed for a patent whereby a consumer can make a payment while they're on a website shopping for an airline ticket. They can tap their own phone and make a payment, which is the first in the world. Nobody has done that. If you are in an online website and if you are shopping for a ticket, you will be able to tap your own phone and make the payment, which will go through online. So that is something that we have just recently patented. And we would want to, so that's where I said that, you know, that offline will become a significant portion. I mean, CC Avenue Tap Pay, that is a better way to place it. Check out through us will be.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I mean, see, this is...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Anahata. So maybe...
I'm just making a follow-on comment, nothing else. And I'm done with this comment. When we see many, many places where there are multiple servers, but they have one or two machines like restaurants, like all these petrol pumps. I mean, these are natural target for tap pay. Right? Each of these people have a mobile phone, all of the pump attendants, all the servers in the restaurant, and all of them can be enabled and they can move away from POS machines to this thing. So, I mean, yeah. I can understand logically also this is an extraordinary opportunity and all the best for it.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all for your participation, and we look forward to getting comments and suggestions from you every now and then. We'll keep you updated on the progress. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.